afternoon.
Howdy.
There we go.
How you doing?
First of all, it was too loud, then I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, no.
Can't win. All right, you're joining We the People. In progress.
Always in progress.
The progress is we're trying to get our guests connected. You know, Skype's a great tool, but if you can't log into it, then it's not a good tool.
It doesn't work very well.
So, my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Bob would be over there in the struggle. See, we'd be over here on the viewing side of the desk, watching the struggle continue. So today we have kind of a, I don't know, it's not really a different show other than shows we've done before, but it does come with a 49-page playbook. So if you can
follow along.
If you've just been starving for a playbook, today's the day. It's playbook day. It's a bad playbook, though. You're not going to like it.
You're not going to like what it says.
No. So it's the playbook to, quote, take out Trump, published by Media Matters. You know, I really thought those guys were just boobs. I didn't know they were out there doing anything.
Oh, no.
Frightening.
Oh, they are organizing.
I know. Bill's got like a whole page, a giant page of notes. So we're on here with, at some point in time, they're both on the phone, but eventually we will be joined by Dr. Lyle Rapacki. And he is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. So since June of 2010, Dr. Rapacki has provided select members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. I have a lot more information on him and all of his credentials on the web. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. You can also, if you're joining us on Sunday between noon and 2, you can jump into the chat room here at KCNR, and that link is also on our page. And the actual link, if you want to go to it directly, is kcnr1460.com, and navigate your way to the little chat thing there. You can ask questions back and forth, and we can get them to you, you know, get them answered for you on the air if you don't want to call in. And let's see, if you know anybody who has some ideas for shows or guests, or you've read some cool books lately and you'd like to hear more from the author, get a hold of us. All of our information is on the web, emails, phone numbers, all that good stuff.
All that stuff.
So wethepeopleradio.us.
We are available.
We are. We're really public, too.
Yeah.
And you know what? Never get prank calls. Isn't that weird?
I get a lot of hang-ups.
I was going to say, you might have a lot of hang-ups. You know, Dr. Rapacki's a behavioral.
Oh, well, maybe we can, talk after the show.
Yeah, we can have a little look in there. And then our other guest that's going to be on at the same time, somebody's on the phone and somebody's on Skype, maybe somehow that's going to work out, is Mark Fincham. And I'm assuming that's how I say his name because it's just like it's spelled. And if that's not it, he's going to have to help me.
Did you talk about what we're going to talk about?
Teensy bit.
Well,
okay. But I was talking about the people who are going to be talking about what we're talking about. Is that okay?
Okay, that's fine.
I should make you do this part.
No.
You're just like over there. You're all age. You do this part. Born in Detroit, Michigan as a youngster. Youngster, that's a word we don't use enough. Mark and his family lived in several Midwest cities, including Kalamazoo, Michigan, where he graduated from high school and attended Western Michigan University. He is, I'm skipping ahead here. After relocating to Tucson, Arizona, Mark joined software maker Intuit, working in the small business accounting division. While advancing through the company to senior manager, he earned his Six Sigma Green Belt rating. I don't know really what that is. He'll have to decode that for us. I think it's good. And led the Tucson-based product registration and business products unit. And 2007, he left Intuit and pursued self-employment. This guy's done everything. He's been there and done that. And now he is in the Arizona legislature. He is Representative Mark Fincham now. So how are we doing?
So
I can check some of these facts with the people who would be.
We do have Mark on the phone.
Nice, Mark.
I've never had anybody say nice.
Nice.
When I was on the phone. That's a nice feeling. Thank you.
We're like, oh, good. We can stop just making this up as we go along. I did link your blog and your websites, both of them, and so people have access to all your good stuff. But yeah, I know. So you're District 11 in the state of Arizona, and you guys have a House of Representatives. In California, we have a assembly. We're the assembly. We don't have a house. Different jobs.
That's correct.
Yeah, which is screwy and confusing for people. So how long have you done that?
Well, it's the whole point. Yeah. They want it to be confusing for people.
That's right. So they can't figure out who actually represents them or what they do. Tell me this. In the Arizona House, how long have you been there?
I am midway through my second term, and our terms are 2 years. So I've been seated for about 3 years.
Okay. So you've been there long enough to know that either it's going the right direction or it's a train wreck. How's Arizona?
Yeah,
it's got to be better than here.
I think I've got a relatively good understanding of where state politics are, where they're headed if we're not careful. I think that's a fair enough statement.
Yeah. You guys have it more together than the California guys by a long shot. So good for you. You can probably actually get things done there.
Well, and what was really interesting is they hooted on us for 8 years talking about secession, and now all of a sudden California is wanting to secede. Okay, so what changed? Oh, the guy in the Oval Office.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Well, and the...
So, interestingly enough, we ran a bill this past session that was a bipartisan bill that essentially appealed to the more sane people among us that it doesn't matter what party's in control. It doesn't matter who's sitting in the Oval Office. It doesn't even matter if it's a man or a woman. There are certain things that no party, no body, like the state legislature, should put up with from the executive of the United States. His power was granted by the legislatures and by the people. And because of the massive attack on the government education monopoly on kids from kindergarten all the way through 16 years of education, they've somehow come to the belief that we're a democracy.
Yes. I hear that all the time.
So if you can't use the right words, that tells me that either you weren't paying attention in school or you had a really stupid teacher.
Well, I think a lot of it is just they don't teach it anymore. They don't want them
they
to
don't know
how
the difference between democracy and a republic the time.
I absolutely disagree. I think that we are facing a concerted effort change the national body politic, and we have been since the 30s.
Well, that's. I think we're saying the same thing.
There are a lot of people who don't know the difference, and they're easily played. But I do think, I think you're right. There is a concerted effort to make everyone believe that we are a democracy. Geez, look at last November.
Yeah, and forgive me, I didn't mean to come off so strong, but I think
go
that
ahead.
All right, I'll forgive you.
The conventional wisdom out here right now is that it's a word. Hey, you know what? Words have meaning.
Yeah. You say it enough times, and pretty soon it's true.
Well, that's why green and red have two different meanings in a traffic signal. So if those who are empowered to teach can't teach correctly, complete and accurate, I picked that up when I was at American Airlines for a little while. If you can't be complete and accurate about history, if you can't be complete and accurate about civics, you have no business being in the classroom. None.
Look at the, I was watching we saw a little blurb on the news. They tried to tear down another statue because, instead of Russia, 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 now we have statue, statue, statue. So they were trying to tear down a statue, and it was a guy I had never heard of. And I thought, I wonder how many of those people even know what he did in the Civil War. I mean, they probably had to have somebody tell them he was actually in the Civil War.
Right. Oh, then they also...
I would love to see them tear the statues of Lenin down for the Russian Civil War.
You know, there was discussion about that as well on the same broadcast.
But
there were a whole bunch of our kind of guys that were.
Yeah, so we'll during your show we'll probably talk about that a little bit, the hypocrisy and the the attempt to draft a narrative, which quite frankly, I think is falling on its face.
People are tuning out
on its face a little bit.
Yeah, do you find that people are kind of tuning out a little bit? But just because it's just like a never-ending onslaught of craziness.
Yeah, with any psyop, there comes a point where you have message fatigue.
Oh, there you go.
And I think they passed that message fatigue. It's kind of strange. because I have not done drugs myself, I have no idea that this is so, but I'm told by physicians that the first time you receive morphine is the most potent experience you will ever have with a medication, because it physically changes your brain chemistry. And the next time, it will be less effective. And the time after that, less effective. And the time after that, even less effective. So, I'm not a doctor, slept in a Holiday Inn, but.
Yeah, there
Not a doctor. But I am told by physicians who I trust and who I think are probably correct that as time goes by, messages in the brain, whether they're from a drug or from somebody whispering in your ear or yelling in your ear, those messages become less and less potent to the point where it's, okay, yeah, thanks, whatever, and you move on.
Right.
That's what I mean by when I say that many Americans live their life about 6 inches in front of their face.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is we have become so bombarded from the moment we wake up to the moment we close our eyes at night, if we have the good fortune to sleep soundly, we are bombarded with these messages about what we should and shouldn't like, about what we should and shouldn't support. And generally, there is very little fact that is associated with those messages. That's one of the reasons you see message fatigue. And in the psychological operation that I think is being conducted in America, has been for many years, that's what we're seeing. People just tune out. Now, the rabid, the people who are most emotional,
yes,
are the ones who are going to get sucked in. Those who are rational are going to say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't even sound plausible. So it's always going to be the battle of the emotional versus the rational. And when you hear about, well, we need to impeach Trump, it's the emotional people that haven't gotten over the fact that somebody took their candy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, and still.
Okay. Hey, you know what? You got an election in 3 years. You are spending all of your energy on turning off the people you're hoping to appeal to. So keep up the good work. I don't want to point this out to the left.
You know, it's funny after.
I don't want to point this out to the communists.
I don't know if it would help them.
Well, no, I think it would, because I think they read into that pretty well. But you know, reading this Democracy Matters playbook here, that very point kind of struck me a little bit. Was they are employing all these tactics. I don't know when this was written, but so much of this. Isn't working, and I think it's having the opposite effect with people. I think they're tired. They're tired of hearing this drumbeat over and over again.
Well, I mean, they're making jokes about it. Literally is like
trouble. Yeah.
Russia, 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 statues. You know, I mean, what's the next thing we're gonna do?
Right.
And have to be hysterical about. But I'll tell you.
Well, I think you raise a very good point, and that's what I'm talking about: message fatigue. People, the longer you put, I don't know, the Six Sigma folks talk about the monkeys in a cage. Mm-hmm. One of them gets a banana. They all get bananas, and they all get hosed down with a wet hose. They don't like that. Well, the next time they get a banana, they all get hosed down except for one of them. And then the next time, one of them gets a banana, and they all get hosed down. The very next time that you give the monkey the banana that has caused them to all be hosed down, they attack and kill the monkey with the banana.
Yikes.
So it's psychological training, and that's what we are watching in the classrooms of our lower learning institutions, our K-12 institutions. I mean, when we have a book by Howard Zinn that is the communist view of how America was formed and what it's done over its years, as the number one selling textbook in American history classes, and you have the College Board aligned to that with college entrance exams, what the hell do you think you're going to get?
Yep.
I'm challenging school boards across America to get off their ever-loving arse and look at the books that they are putting in the classroom. And if you really want to screw with a kid's mind, you don't belong on the school board. You belong in the Communist Party headquarters for your local community. Politics in the classroom have absolutely no place. Are we on the air yet?
And there's a... We're still on the air, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're definitely live.
We've got Lyle.
We've been on the air for 15 minutes.
Where is Lyle? And do we need to take a quick break? Can we...
We can take a break, yes.
We're having Skype problems.
I thought this was the pre-show conversation.
It is. It is. We just shared it with everyone else.
A few million people.
Yeah, yeah. What's the problem? All right. Hold on 1 second. We're going to take a really swift break, and then we'll come back. Hopefully we'll have Lyle, and, you know, we can just keep going, because it's just going to be like this the whole time. This is how we're doing it.
All right.
If you've joined We the People. Obviously, we're having some technical things with connecting our guests, but hey, what's new? Stick with us. Well, we forgot to invite the guy who would have been stuck in the middle. We don't have any middle here. You're listening to We the People. Okay, so we're here with, I think we have Lyle Rapacki with us. Do we?
We do. Can you hear me now?
Ta-da!
Hey, there's Lyle.
Ta-da! So much for that whole Skype idea. Sorry, I sent you down a blind alley on that one.
I've taken the last 25 minutes Skyping in.
It's so
been a great
quick.
Show so far.
It's so quick. It's just electronics, right? Oh, my gosh. Well, we had a nice chat with Mark, and we forgot to make...
Well, you have the better of the both of us anyway, so there you go. I can hang up now.
We forgot to actually tell him we were on the air, so... We didn't actually say anything bad, though, so... You can listen
I'll
later.
I define bad.
Well, bad's when you push the button and then you have that station identifier that rolls for 7 seconds to cover up whatever it was we said. Yeah.
Well, I won't have to say oops about anything. So
we've actually only had that, I think, one time. It was really fun because you never know what people are going to say. And then Bob was like he was like a Venus flytrap. It's like, you know. Okay, so I think at this point we've got the playbook here, this Take Out Trump playbook, posted online for people who want it. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. Look for the show on the 20th of August if you're listening at a different time. And I don't know, Lyle, we haven't heard from you yet. What do you think the overarching thing is with this, since you're the one who sent it out in the first place? That's why I have it.
Power. In a word, it's all about power. The Dems are out of power. They thrive on power. All they put together, all they do, everything that they work toward is to gain power. And actually, when they had power, that wasn't enough power, so they needed more power. I mean, I can play this into an oxymoron, but that's what it's about, power. Saul Alinsky, who all the modern-day Dems are followers of, taught very clearly that morals are irreverent or irrelevant, and his driving force and what he taught was to use any means available to you to gain power and to maintain power. And if that means you have to show or say a few things to the downtrodden, go ahead. But your end game, your goal, is to achieve and maintain power. you obtain it, you keep it, and you defeat anyone who tries to take it from you. That's really it. And the show's over now.
We're all done.
That's pretty much it.
All right, back to Mark.
And,
he was chattier.
I think people like Representative Finchem are going to be feeling and seeing this juggernaut if they haven't already, and I believe they have, because while there's been so much attention at the national level, for the first time in a long time, or maybe at least in modern history, the Democrat Party, which is really a form of a communist party, but we don't want to say that because it's politically incorrect, has now worked its way into the states, counties, and city levels, like city councils, county supervisors, things of that nature. Historically, they've been focusing on the national. This time around, and with that 49-page playbook and a couple of other playbooks that are out along the same lines, demonstrates is they have reignited their base to go after for power at the local or state level as well as the congressional level. We're seeing it in states where even in safe districts, legislators are now having an opponent. Historically, and Representative Finchem would speak into this far, far better than I can, having been an elected official, they are now seeing people come forward who, in one sense or another, may not ever have a chance to win, but because they've been propped up and they're going through the motions, it is causing extra monies to be used. It's
yeah.
causing platforms to come forward by which they can espouse their beliefs and to ignite all sorts of emotionality that even though it won't translate into votes in the ballot box, it puts them on the map so they can continue their work in the off-season, if you will, or in the non-election year.
Well, it gives them
some power.
It gives them huge influence. I mean, when you read that document, it's really a fascinating look at how they plan on retaking their influence over the internet, over, you know, like you said, state, local,
over
federal
governments. You know, the one that got me was Facebook, too.
Facebook,
here,
Google.
Here, I kind of thought they had Facebook locked in.
Well,
and
yeah,
they're
but
trying
you,
to...
Well, you look at if you're able to control the content and yeah. and the you know what's being said there, that's pretty big power.
So I'm and a bit of a contrarian, not. As you've heard in the first 15 minutes. I think that what the and let's go back and talk a little bit about this the idea that this is a psyop. This is a psychological operation that's being run by. Some very powerful, very wealthy communists. Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Communism is not about helping the worker. It's about seeing to it that the elites get to live in the level of comfort they've grown accustomed to. And that their narrative is many people don't buy it. So I question whether or not there really is that much influence. We have this tendency, we in the republic form of government have this tendency, conservative types have this tendency to look at left, right as this, somehow this linear equation, probably because we have a left hand and a right hand and somewhere in the center we all get to meet together and clap, I guess. What we have to understand is, and I saw this classic case of this is what happened in Charlottesville. I have absolutely no doubt now, and I think that this has been, for the most part, confirmed by Colonel Allen West. Both sides were the same side. This was a contrived event uh-huh. for the media, because the media has, we no longer have journalists, we don't have reporters, we have actors with scripts, who parrot the words that they've been told to parrot based on the events of the day. Now, you didn't hear anything about the prayer meeting that happened in Charlottesville.
No.
But you heard about Unite the Right. Okay, I'm a conservative, so for somebody to say you're far right-wing, Mark Finchem, I don't buy into the linear equation of politics. I think what we have is the three-dimensional battlefield, if you will, where there are a number of skirmishes, and quite often two groups that essentially want the same thing are firing at each other. I think that's what we saw in Charlottesville. You know, take aside the idea of taking down a monument to a traitor. There's no question that Robert E. Lee was a traitor in the classical sense. But he also believed in something that they lost the war over secession. That was one of the two things. The spark was slavery, but the idea was secession. They believed, Southern states believed, that they had the right to withdraw from the Union if they disagreed. And until 1865-ish, there was a question as to whether or not that was true. So the spark that caused the skirmish, if you will, in Charlottesville was actually between two groups. I'm not going to say left, right, middle, communist. Two groups that are seeking the same thing, and that's to elevate their cause using the media to some end that many of us can speculate on, but they know what their end is. So they're basically playing the media. But the media is so willing to be played, that's kind of the point. It's media. It's not news anymore.
But don't you think a lot of the actual players that were involved in that didn't really know they were actually being played?
Well, you've got the 1% who are running the operation, and then you've got the 99% who are what Lenin called useful idiots.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. So you've got this battle that goes on between the emotional and the rational, and a handler will always look for the emotional people in the crowd, and those are the people they play to. Because the rest that are there basically are social lemmings. One of them jumps over the cliff, they're all going to go over the cliff.
Yeah, true.
Right.
So you're building inertia. It's a classic psychological operation. You draw in the people that will be the voice, and then everybody else is going to follow because, after all, groupthink is what we do now. It's no longer critical thinking. And what I find preposterous is we've got colleges now that say, well, bring your kids here and, you know, we'll teach them critical thinking skills. Or better yet, we have Common Core, which has been foisted upon us, that the whole point of Common Core was to teach critical thinking skills. When in reality, what they're actually teaching is groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
Consensus. Tolerance. People get this notion that tolerance is somehow a good thing. Tolerance means putting up with something you don't really particularly care about, that you don't like. So the operation, or the difference between tolerance and intolerance, they're basically the same thing. The true opposite of tolerance is appreciation. I appreciate the cultural differences of other people, and I think that's one of the reasons that I'm able to talk to other people and actually get things done instead of standing on a soapbox and yelling at the world and being wholly unproductive.
Let me pick up on a theme that Representative Fincham said. It was the psych ops, the psychological operation. We know that over the last 6 months, eight months, 9 months, that the communist and the Marxist groups have come together and are well-funded, well-organized. They even have training camps where they practice these types of protests, confrontations. We also know now that there are companies, literally, if you will, businesses, that recruit young, impressionable, and like Mark was talking about, people who have no critical thinking skills whatsoever. They're crowd think, they're crowds, they're sheep. And they'll pay them $25 an hour plus some form of housing, tents, and some food. But $25 an hour, and they'll bus them or ship them in one form, airplane even, into these communities that have been designated to bring this disruption. In that sense, Representative Fincham is also talking about something that's very sophisticated here, that both the right and left, if you want to use that, and he and I don't much anymore, but if for the sake of this discussion, the left and the right, they really do appear to be more in line than you would normally think, but that's because they're being recruited by the same groups and they're being put there by the same groups, and they're being used by the same groups, because the greater goal is to bring such disruption and dismay that it disrupts and brings crises to the Trump people. You got to keep it focused here, that whatever the emotional issue is of the day or the week, it will be changed by next week or the week after.
Yeah.
The idea is to continue some form of emotional discord, disruption.
That goes along with the concept we were talking about, message fatigue.
Okay, good. Yeah.
The longer a message is out there, the less people pay attention to it. Okay, so you have to continually feed the beast with a new crisis, with a new confrontation, with a new something in order to try and keep that up. What is interesting to me, I don't think the majority of Americans embrace violence.
No.
And it seems to be the tool that the front, I will call it, whoever make up that front that want to challenge the Republican form of government in this nation, whoever that is, whether it's communist, fascist, whoever they are, that front doesn't really get that the American people are not down with that. Now, their little group might be down with that. But the idea is to draw in a skirmish, is to draw in your opponent, and then to outflank them and somehow create something that might be newsworthy that they can point to and say, you, President Trump, you bad guy, you didn't come out and say the right words in order to impugn what just happened.
Yeah.
It's all
yeah.
contrived. And I think the majority of Americans are brighter than that.
I don't know.
They see it for what it is. So there's a great book out there written by Frank Peretti called This Present Danger, a Christian book, but it walks through the story of a town that is facing this exact thing. Metaphorically, of course, it's drawing in all of the forces that are here to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And it shows that there is this present battle of those realms playing out right in front of our faces. But the bad guy always loses. That's what we have to remember. Another good book I'm reading, Newt Gingrich's book on understanding Trump. There's a sentence in there that just really caught my eye, and he said, no matter what happens, I plan to win. Okay. I think we have to keep in focus. The bad guy always loses. He might win for a short period. He might win a skirmish or two.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, the bad guy loses.
But what you said earlier about the violence is key, because that's what gets the attention and swings the conversation over to a new topic. If you can create a situation
until they're found out.
Well, then they just create another.
Yeah, they just morph it to something else.
I mean, we've got, you know, we just keep jumping from topic to topic here, and the media are just useful tools. They jump with them.
You make a good point, but at some point, people get off of that train because they say, "Hey, wait a minute, this is like the 12th time you've jumped things. I'm starting to think that maybe you're just out there causing mayhem and." And they fall off.
Some people do
that.
And
you notice the number of people that are at these specialty events, is what I'll call them. These are not people that particularly, I don't think, you've got people that are particularly interested in establishing a communist America. They're being paid to do what they're doing. Now, there are probably true believers within that group. But what I'm saying is, their message is not embraced by people who are interested in the four pillars of what I represent, and that's quality education, personal freedom, economic security, and a debt-free future. If you ask the people on my block in any town in America what matters to them, I just told you.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't tune into violence. They don't want their kids associated with it. So we still have, at the very basic level in our nation, people who abhor violence. And the rest of them are outliers, and we got to remember that.
I think, you know, Mark, you and I have talked about this, and so have other legislators and other elected officials. One of the problems I think we're seeing is that conservatives are taught as children to obey the laws, to obey traditional morality, and they're not prepared for the debate that's taking place. It's not even a debate. They're not even prepared for the arguments that are occurring today. They're taught, conservatives are taught, don't tell lies, respect the ideas of others. We're all God's children. Do unto others
be
what
nice.
You want them to do unto you. So we're following a set of beliefs and moralities that the other side doesn't even have. Alinsky and his followers, and I'm going to tell you, the Alinsky, if you want to study this stuff, go back and study Alinsky, because that's exactly what Obama studied. That's what Hillary Clinton so proudly based her thesis on. And Bernie Sanders has been a lifelong communist, but nobody wants to talk about that because he's more of a socialist today. But these are all communists, and I think Representative Finchem alluded to that if he wasn't very clear. But they are following and the power that comes with the Communist Manifesto, where the conservatives are being more polite, more kind. They're turning the other cheek when they're named things and called things. Well, Trump's not doing that, and they don't know how to handle that. And so the focus is really switched to Trump to not only neuter him, but to absolutely cause him a form of character assassination, if not worse. And the groups that are coming together, most of them do not even know why they're there, as Representative Finchem said. They're being paid. They're impressionable. They're a bunch of sheep. There is not critical thinking because we don't teach that anymore in our universities.
You know where we see this, and we've seen it before.
Where?
So if people don't understand the national political, if they're not grasping this because you're not seeing it in your local area, if you live anywhere where the environmental fringe has come and taken over, the spotted owl is a, there's lots of examples, but that's just one I can point to. So here comes the whole thing about the spotted owl. All the stuff they were talking about was fake. So people in the timber industry, people who lived in the area, they thought, well, this will never work because they're not even telling the truth. And it rolled in like a freight train, mowed them down,
right.
And left them standing
right.
there wide-eyed and jobless. So here comes the environmental thing. Well, it's widely known that once you're too crazy to participate in environmental fringe groups, you move on to animal rights. And so I look at this whole thing and I'm like, the last 8 years we've been looking at the environmentalist version of the left acting out. Now we've moved on to animal rights. These are the people who throw blood on people and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's always been a crazier subset. But the bad part is what I'm seeing at congressional town halls in our area is that even if conservatives do attend, most of the time they look at it and go, I don't think I even want to go. But if they do go, they're totally silent. And so then it's portrayed that, 200 people or 500 or 1,400 or whatever the venue will hold, are there opposing Representative so-and-so, but a lot of them maybe weren't. They just were quiet, and they just don't know
right.
how. I mean, I'm hoping in the next, little bit of this, maybe
we can give
people. I
think we've gotten better
people
about presence. Now we have to get better about voice.
Yeah.
And there's something that I've come to call the soapbox syndrome. I don't know if it's going to have a book or not because it'd probably be one chapter, but you may recall, let's talk about March of Dimes. And I'm not saying this to vilify March of Dimes. By the way, I understand that Jerry Lewis passed away.
He
this
did
morning.
Too, it's, so very timely. Hang on for that, Mark, 1 second, and let's do one short celebration of capitalism here before the top of the hour.
Absolutely.
We could call
unseen
it
profits. Go.
Go, retailers. All righty, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We were going to lose half of Hollywood.
The Jets on the tarmac. Get
on
board.
Still there.
Yeah.
Ugh. The Rosie O'Donnell syndrome. I'm leaving. Oh, except for I forgot to do it. Okay, so if we don't get to the playbook next hour, Bill's going to blow a vein. But
okay. Well, I wanted to put a very short bow on what I was about to bring up.
Yes,
and that is
do.
The idea that all of these organizations, you know, the Wild Earth Guardians and
Center for Biological Diversity.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
Notice that on their they come out with these fundraising things. They, you know, button to donate. This is about a fundraising thing.
Yes,
that's all this is. And they will invent something just to raise funds. Now, one of the things that I'm asking the Arizona Attorney General's office to take a look at in Arizona. It is a felony to raise funds under false pretenses.
Good thinking.
I'd just like to know, are they raising funds making false claims? Because if they are,
well, look at
by definition, they are creating a fictitious environment to raise funds.
Well, geez, Mark, look at the Humane Society of the United States. For heaven's sakes, less than 1% of the money they raise goes to animal shelters. They have nothing to do with animal shelters.
Right.
Well, the problem
people
is
don't know that.
The second half of that is you have to have somebody that will actually go after and prosecute the violators. And we seem to have a problem in this country now with actually investigating and prosecuting people that break the law. It doesn't seem to...
It depends on the state.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. We live in a state where we decided to let all our prisoners go and turn all our felonies into misdemeanors. And we have a crime problem, huh? Yeah. Who could have seen that coming?
So there's a big surprise. Now, Arizona's got a little bit different solution to some of those things. But you had a question. You wanted to talk about the playbook. So let's talk about the playbook.
Well,
we just want people to know what they're looking at.
If people read this and understand who the players are and understand what their tactics are, they'll understand where all this stuff's coming from. I mean, you can immediately identify it when you see it. If you read this and understand their tactics,
I think that's true to a certain extent. But Lyle raised a very good point, and that is that we have been conditioned over generations
to be nice.
Yep.
The extreme organizations that represent communist ideals, Marxist ideals, anything that's antithetical to a true Republican form of government where people do have representation and people are the legislature, anybody who is in that world, they don't care. It's like the guy who walks in to rob a 7-Eleven. He doesn't really care that it has a no guns sticker on the door. It doesn't apply to me because I am not living in your world.
Right.
Right.
So we've got to get past that piece. And it pains me to know that the vast majority of people who are critical thinkers, who have their values based in an objective moral standard, they view these skirmishes as something to engage in and then go home. Because why? Because they work for a living. Their life is not revolving around advancing a communist or a Marxist agenda. Their life is around making sure that their kids got clothes, they got food on the table, roof over their, all of those things.
Right.
So we've got to get past this idea that you can go to a skirmish and then go home. And there are people in communities. I think one of the things we really need to do, which the playbook is a great start for us to identify, how do we teach counterinsurgency?
Mm-hmm.
How do we take the narrative that this group has crafted and turn it right back on them? Great case in point. When Hillary Clinton came out and started talking about how the Russians did it, and these guys did it, and most guys did it, and pick another.
Don't forget the Macedonians. I love them.
There was the perfect opportunity for, and I actually used this, break out the tinfoil hats. That far right wing conservative group is at it again, mocking her. Who's got the tinfoil hat on now?
Mm-hmm.
So when you start to understand that you're engaged in a skirmish that you cannot let, and I think this might have been what you were going to on the playbook, you cannot let a single narrative go by, while at the same time you also got to keep your powder dry.
Yeah,
you've got to wait until they fully develop their narrative, until you find out where the chink in the armor is. Then you can exploit that and say, well, okay, so who's wearing the tinfoil hat now?
Well, right. And for the folks who don't, you know, who don't live and breathe this stuff, I guess it's just important to let them know that this isn't a bunch of random things. Because people, I don't know that a lot of people realize that because they're not following that closely. And the more annoying it becomes,
right,
the more they tune out, which makes it all seem like, wow, the place is just blowing up. We will be right back. Speaking of blowing up, we're going to have a 5-minute celebration of capitalism plus some news. Sorry about that. It'll probably be bad news. You're listening to We the People. Join us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us.